Illness may rob us of vitality, but maybe, just maybe, sometimes it can help bring us understanding in improbable disguises. Elizabeth Tova Bailey was struck with a neurological disorder in which she was too weak even to sit up. Illness essentially sentenced her to stay in bed, where she felt life was slipping by unused. A friend brought her a gift of flowers in a small pot in which a wild snail also resided. What once Elizabeth Tova Bailey might have seen as just a nearly motionless mollusk among violets meant to console her becomes instead her companion, almost her surrogate. Elizabeth Tova Bailey, who is an essayist and short story writer, has written a book about how her view of life in a small, slow scale enlarged her view of life. It's called The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating, a True Story. And Elizabeth Tova Bailey joins us from her home in Maine. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Scott.
And we should explain, Elizabeth Tova Bailey is a pen name, yes?
Yes. Due to my illness, I really have to lead a very, very quiet life. I think it's just a helpful buffer for me in that way. I'm not somebody that ever wanted to write about myself or my illness, and I wouldn't never have done so, but I really wanted to write a sort of a biographical thank you for the snail, and I also wanted to help other patients with my illness.
Could you help us understand your illness a little better?
It's not a very visible illness, but it physically limits you, so it's extraordinarily difficult to live with, and it's very unpredictable.
Does it have a name?
Depending on what specialist you go to, you can get a different diagnosis, whether it's dysautonomia or mitochondrial disease or chronic fatigue syndrome.
So a friend brings you this pot of flowers and says there's a snail at the bottom. I thought you might enjoy it. What did you think?
I was surprised and not at all sure why she had picked up a snail and brought it in. I have very down-to-earth friends, and I have spent my adult life living in the country. But even so, I was a little bit perplexed, and it felt like just one more thing that I couldn't deal with and was overwhelming. She, of course, left and drove home, and there I was in bed, unable to get out with this very small animal a foot away from my bed and no understanding of its life or how I would ever get it back to the woods where it came from.
How did you begin to notice the snail's life?
Well, when you're that bedridden and the world around you is quite still, you're too sick to watch television or read, and if something is moving, you start to watch it. I think sometimes of the Emily Dickinson poem about the fly on the windowsill. And the snail was in its shell originally because it had been disrupted from its life and it went into its shell to be safe. And it then later on, a few hours after my friend left, came out of its shell and began to explore. And I just watched it because there was something to watch. And I didn't really become interested. It still felt like a burden and a responsibility. But it was as the next day and a few more days passed, I began to see the pattern in its life. And when you start to observe the patterns of another animal's life, I think you get to know that animal and feel connected.
And the animal ate your flowers, too.
There were some flowers in a vase that had sort of gone by, so I gave it some of those petals, and it began to eat them. And I think when you're that ill and you can do almost nothing for yourself, let alone for anyone else, being able to help this very tiny creature that was hungry was a very amazing thing for me to be able to do. It gave me a feeling of being useful again.
Did you begin to project yourself one way or another inside that shell a bit?
I think my connection to the snail when it was with me that year was more about appreciating its pace in life. It moved at a speed that was actually faster than my own speed, and so it really was peaceful to watch it. It moved so smoothly and gently and gracefully. It was like a Tai Chi master, and it was very calming and just helped me deal with the fact that I was at a level that was so low in terms of what I could do.
And now, at some point, you got a little bit better, at least better enough to move home. You've been in a studio apartment.
Yep.
And you thought you ought to release your snail companion back into its natural habitat, but you worried about if it had become domesticated, I guess.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure if I. Yeah, I suppose domesticated, in that it was used to getting fed. You know, it was safe, but you know, like any animal, it's incredibly evolved to deal with its own environment. But it was very hard to let it go.
Did the different pace of the snail's life and human life change you in any way?
I don't know. I think that I'd like to say that I continue to move at a snail's pace, but like most humans, I try to do too much still, always. Mm-hmm. It's a constant struggle to live within the boundaries of my illness. And as I note later in the book, there's a point at which I'm doing just a little bit enough better that I don't have as much patience to watch the snail. I think we're naturally geared to live within the speed which our species has evolved to function in. And I think the functioning of humans is evolving to be faster and faster.
Elizabeth Tova Bailey, speaking from Maine. Her new book is The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating, A True Story. Thank you so much, Ms. Bailey.
Thank you.